As you recall, for the past few Sundays, I have taken some of the titles of the Holy Ghost that are either suggested by the gospel story or from the litany of the Holy Ghost or some other prayers and devotions or even from Isaiah himself writing about the Spirit of God who would come upon men. I've taken the opportunity here just to take some titles like that and explain them a little bit further, both for all of us so that we can understand more about the Holy Ghost and his role in our lives and how we can best apply these various aspects of the works of the Holy Ghost in our own lives, but also to help those that are preparing for confirmation, that step by step, more and more, they can understand how the Holy Ghost will work in them and be strengthened in them through the sacrament of confirmation. So all in all, I've tried to work toward that and heading toward this important point of the receiving this sacrament that will come soon in our parish. Today, what I'd like to talk about is Isaiah's term that he gives to the Holy Ghost, the spirit of fortitude, that is suggested by part of today's gospel. In today's gospel, we read where our Lord warns his disciples about persecution that will come upon him. He's saying that they have persecuted me. He has warned them before. Since they have done this to I am your Lord and Master, they will persecute you. It will come, both as a matter of fact, at that point. And in fact, as we conclude in the reading for the day, he says, But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you will remember I told you. This being forewarned truly is forearmed in the things of God, in the works of God, and especially in this area of trial and persecution and difficulty. Our Lord had warned the apostles that they would be misunderstood, that they would give a false interpretation would be put upon their words and their deeds. It would come even to the point, like he says there, that there are people who think they're doing a service to God by putting you to death, not just putting you out of the synagogues, but even putting you to death, they say, in the name of God, simply because you have now preached this gospel that I, as God, have taught you, but which goes contrary to what they themselves teach. It's something that is just, you know, remarkable that continues to happen. It's not only happened to the apostles centuries ago in the early of Christianity, but go through the entire history of Christianity. All who remain faithful to the truth have suffered persecution. And in going through these points, these principles of persecution and suffering that they have, God is here to tell them that they have grace, but not only the grace to be able to teach and understand and be strong with the faith, but even to bear up under these times of persecution. To endure such things takes a strength that is beyond human ability. Humanly, people cannot bear through all of these particular things. It takes something beyond that, and that comes from the grace of God. It takes something that's more noble in things, and that's the virtue of fortitude. The Holy Ghost is recognized or identified, like I said, as a spirit of fortitude. One of the gifts the Holy Ghost brings into our souls as the sanctifier is the gift of fortitude, which is an ability more and more to do the things which the virtue of fortitude requires of us. I'm not going to speak much about the gift of fortitude itself, but the virtue which all of us should have and should practice, because it is so important for us if we're going to live our lives well, as good children of God, as faithful Catholics, especially in this day. The virtue of fortitude is understood as being a moral virtue, and it's supernatural. There is a natural virtue of fortitude. God gave to everyone, whoever is on the earth, who has ever been born as a human creature. He has given to everyone the ability to practice what are called the four cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. To be prudent, to be just, to be strong, to be temperate. But all these in natural ways, and has to be cultivated in natural ways, cultivated by naturally good habits. And in doing that, can become good men. But we're here to be supernatural ones. Since we're baptized, a supernatural role is placed upon us. So we take these four cardinal virtues, and they're now elevated by the grace of God to a supernatural virtue, a supernatural way of practicing and living and thinking and teaching and all those particular things. Doing now for the love of God, doing now for the salvation of souls, doing now to live as a child of God, not just as a good human being, but as a child of God. And there's a big difference between the two. It's not semantics. There's a big difference between the two of being a good human being only at natural level and now raising that up to the supernatural level which God has created in all of us to be do so as the child of God that comes from us at baptism. This is what the virtue of fortitude helps us to do. Sometimes the virtue of fortitude has been known as, given a name of calling strength of soul. We say someone has a great character about them, a nobility about them. We recognize something in them, a strength of soul, also a strength of character, that they have been formed well. We can count on them to do things and do great things, even for God, for the things of God, for their own salvation, for their neighbor. These things just don't come by their own. It's a character, it's a quality that has to be built up. It comes from a strength of the soul in pursuit of moral good that has been taught by the virtue of justice. Justice is one of those other moral virtues. Justice is that virtue that teaches us what it is we should do. That before God and before our fellow man and even before ourselves, these are the correct things to do and these things are not. This is what justice teaches. When the scriptures calls people just men or just women, it means they are living according to the virtue of justice. They are following what the Beatitudes tell us to hunger and thirst after justice. Hunger and thirst. They want to do all things correctly and rightly and true for the love of God, for the great work of their neighbor, and also for their own soul's salvation. Justice teaches them, shows them what it is they must do. Fortitude strengthens them so that they can do it. That's where fortitude fits into this. So supernaturally, I cannot be this strong person unless I truly know on what principles I'm supposed to be strong about. And that's what justice teaches. So this is why we call that fortitude. It strengthens us in the pursuit of these moral goods, pursuit of justice. Gives us the strength that we need. Those who are practicing justice are not detoured by fear. The fear that comes up of the hardship, the fear of the duty that must be done, the fear of things that come along the way. No matter how hard it is, because they know it is correct, they know it is right, they will do it, despite the hardship, because they know this is what is just. And because it is just and they are hungering and thirsting after it, then they're praying for that moral strength, that strength of soul, that strength of character they need, that despite the hardship, despite the difficulty of it, they're going to do it. And the Marines have a saying, the hard to do we will do right away, the impossible takes a little bit longer. Spiritualize, supernaturalize that. In the spiritual things that we must accomplish, it may be hard to do and seemingly may be impossible, but God has already told us, nothing is impossible with God. He will never command us the impossible. So no matter how hard it might seem to be, he gives you and I the graces we need to accomplish everything, to get past that fear, the fear that says this is too hard, the fear that wants us to make us wimp out in practicing the right things for God and for our neighbor and even for ourselves. The virtue of fortitude helps us pass the fear of other people, the opinions and the thoughts of others. Especially when they're critical about us. Critical because of a religious sense, because they deny points of religion. We get past that. I will live for God and do the things of God. That's what's more important. And even the virtue of fortitude helps us, even if it comes down to a point of a fear of death. You know, we marvel at many of the saints who would not commit sin, but would rather die than do that. We marvel at the martyrs who would rather never betray God, even in the least, but would rather go to death to do that. We marvel within our own striking distance of time. The one, St. Maria Goretti, she went to death rather than commit a sin against purity. Imagine that. Where are those people in the world today? Where are those who would rather love and serve God to the point that they will not offend him, that they would prefer death rather than offending him? Where are those people? If they are strong in fortitude, we will have hundreds, thousands of them. St. Dominic Savio, while even a young man, took a motto to himself, a motto that I think if all of us tried to live, we might see something that's important. Death, death rather than sin. Imagine that. Imagine that in consideration. Death rather than sin. A young man, 10 years old, makes that determination for God, and he lives it. He actually lived that. He didn't die a martyr's death, but we have every assurance he didn't just go ahead and give in to serious sin because I can always just go running off to confession. He loved God. He had a nobleness, a character about him in his soul. He was strong for God. That's what we're talking about here. This is what fortitude does. The chief action of fortitude in your soul and mine is that, first of all, it helps us to undertake the difficult things. In fact, even if it is difficult, bring it on. We'll do it even more. Because I want to prove my love for God. I want to prove it so much that because it's difficult, I want to show I love him. Those who are trying to court each other for marriage, they will move heaven and earth. They will overcome every obstacle to win the heart of their beloved one. They will prove to them, nothing is too difficult to do for you, my loved one. Well, take that past human love. Come to the love of God. Do the great things for God, even if they are difficult, because it proves our love and it brings with it a reward from God in heaven. Fortitude helps us to undertake those difficult things and to keep it up, to sustain the effort. No matter how much the effort might be, no matter how long it takes for us to do certain things, we know this is the right thing to do, and we'll continue to do it. It's fortitude that gives us the strength to accomplish that. Fortitude builds in the soul by degrees. For those who are beginning to practice fortitude, beginning to bring this to themselves and make it a part with them, their first practices of fortitude are overcoming the fear of the effort to do the things for God. The fear that comes up in saying, I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I'm strong enough. I don't think that I can accomplish all these things. To be good always, is really hard. And so I have this fear of just starting, taking the first step toward God in these things. The virtue of fortitude helps me to take that first step. And then also, then comes the next thing. Then another thing comes to mind. Okay, I'll make the effort, but there's all these risks that come up in doing this. What happens if this person or that person sees me practicing this? What's going to take place here? Or if I start doing this, I'm not going to have fun anymore in my life. I've got to change things. There's certain risks that I am involved in here and getting involved like this and being strong for God and for my neighbor and for myself. But the one who is strong in fortitude is willing to meet every risk, meet every challenge, and build that up bit by bit. As I'd mentioned before, another part for the beginners, one of the things they have to overcome is this fear of criticism, especially the fear of displeasing friends. The friends that I've got in life, if I start standing up, not getting involved with their jokes, not getting involved in their stories, not cursing and swearing like the rest, but doing my duties as I do, at work, faithfully, at school, faithfully, around home, faithfully, as I know God would want me to do. Even though others may criticize me, others may despise me for it, even though they might laugh at me for these particular things, let's remember what St. Paul wrote to the Galatians when he said, if I yet please men, I should not be a friend of Christ. Who am I here to please in this life? Who is going to be my final judge for my eternal welfare? Men? Men's changes and fickle with the day. Where does it go? The judgment comes from God. Therefore, my friendship should be with God. That friendship is established with God by having sanctifying grace in my soul. How terrible it is that people so cheapen sanctifying grace, this God living within them, this friendship with God, this peace they can have with him. They cheapen it so much that they would really rather readily give it up so quickly instead of saying to someone around them, no, I don't do that. I am Catholic. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I don't enjoy stories like that around me. I will not go to those places. I will not watch these movies, whatever it might be. I'll be strong. That's where fortitude comes up, because I want to please God, not men. As we advance more in this virtue of fortitude, we start to see that just we're getting past this fear, then we start to practice the positive side of this virtue, which means that I will imitate the strength of soul that I see in the life of Jesus Christ, the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the life of the saints. This is why I read the lives of the saints. This is why I read the scriptures, to imitate Jesus, not to memorize it so I've got 1,001 quotes to throw at people, but to imitate Jesus Christ, to see what he does and make that a part of my life. As difficult as it might be, he has won the graces for you and me to be able to do it. And fortitude helps me to be able to accomplish that. So on the positive side, I'm now living as I should. The interesting thing about this virtue of fortitude, the more that we practice it, the more it builds up inside of us. There's four other virtues that come along the way. They're sister virtues to fortitude. And we'll see how they're all there to prop us up so we're doing the things for God. It helps us in this hungering and thirsting after justice. The first of these is called magnanimity. Magnanimity means a greatness of soul. It means I really want to go out and do great things for God and my neighbor. I want to do them. Even if it's for someone else, just one single person without me, I'm not going to be this mediocre person. I won't be a wimp in the things of God. I want to do great things, practice great virtue in my own life and to help others do the same thing. Magnanimity, greatness of soul. Another sister virtue is called magnificence. That means that I will not count the cost of what it takes to do good. Yes, in prudence, I measure out everything before I do something and see prudently about doing this particular action, performing it this way, and so forth. But I'm not going to get so bogged down in my way of life and saying, oh, the work is too big. Uh-oh, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. I paralyze myself to the point I don't do good anymore. No. Magnificence helps me to not count that cost because God, by his grace, will sustain me in these great works. Another of the sister virtues is patience. Patience is also known as equanimity of soul. It kind of gives you the idea of being on a boat there, sailing with God, if you will, where the seas are calm and just blown along gently by the wind. This is what patience is like. It's equanimity of soul. In physical and moral sufferings, I can bear with them patiently, not fly off the handle and then afterwards excuse myself. But fortitude helps me to be strong, and patience helps me in this practice of fortitude, that I will live up, knowing that suffering is my lot. I will endure these things for the love of God, because this is what Jesus did. This is what Mary did. This is what the saints have done. And by the grace of God, I can do it too. And then fourthly, the virtue is called constancy. Of all the four here, I think this is the more important. The reason is constancy teaches me to keep at the struggle in the same measure till the end. How many times have all of us made these resolutions? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give up this. I'm going to practice this virtue. I'm never going to fall into that again or whatever. Within a few days or a few weeks, the resolution's gone. Because we're not constant people. We yield to weariness. We yield to discouragement. We yield even to boredom that comes up in practicing spiritual things. But fortitude gets us past that. Even if we're doing the repetition of the same spiritual works to build up that virtue, which what constancy helps me to do, I will not get bored with it. I will not get discouraged by it. I will not get weary in accomplishing it. Because constancy helps me to struggle and to suffer all the way to the end. To the end without yielding. That's why I put this one here as important, because it's one virtue we look forward to. If we are people who hunger and thirst after justice, if we really try to practice the virtue of fortitude, constancy will be ours. And we will see just how our life will mellow out. Peace will reign in our hearts and souls because we have that strength that we need. You know, there's so few saints in the world today, so few saints that are really striving to be holy. There are many, many people who are committed to saying, okay, I'm not going to commit a mortal sin, doesn't mean I won't commit a venial sin because it's not as bad. Or there's other people out there saying, well, I just can't help it. I can't help but commit a mortal sin. There's always confession. I can run off to that. We need strong people today. We need people of strong character, strong, that strength of soul I've been talking about here. We need people who will really take the idea of what, why we are here, to be children of God, to know, love, and serve Him as we should, so that we can be happy with Him in the next life. We need people who are committed to be holy, who will give up mortal sin and venial sin, give it up completely out of their lives, because that's less than them, less than it is as a child of God. And as difficult as it might be, and the temptations may be great, I will not yield to them by the grace of God. I will be stronger than that. But we have a people today that are so influenced by the world today, the world that tells them, don't worry, nobody's perfect. Don't worry, you can give in to this right now, run off to confession later. Or don't worry, you have a right to have fun. You have a right to do this. You have a right to do that. Who's telling you it's sinful? And the conscience gets dulled. There's no peace in their lives because they're not strong for God. We need saints today. We have too many wimps. For maybe one person who's trying, we have probably a million wimps. For one person who's trying to love and serve God, we have that much. I don't think I'm out of proportion with that. People who are not committed to love and serve God, to be strong for Him, to hunger and thirst after justice, to seek after the things of God and that alone. Yes, that demands strength. That demands fortitude. But am I not open to you the path right now of how to gain it? No matter how difficult it might be, no matter how wearisome it might be to accomplish it, that the strength is there through fortitude to accomplish all that God wants to be done? All you and I have to do is to take that first step forward, to desire to be strong, to desire to live and love for God, to desire to serve our neighbor as we should, to get past our selfishness, and to really labor for our own spiritual good, for our own salvation in the proper way. We're in the midst of the novena to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one, as we say, who is that spirit of fortitude, who gives this great gift to us, if we were willing to receive it and put it into practice, not counting the cost, not worrying about it, not making a resolution for a day or two, but committing to my entire life, to live for God, to love Him as a child, and to serve my neighbor for the love of God, and to work for my own salvation. I'm committed to that. If we prayed this novena to the Holy Ghost, and ask the Holy Ghost to come to us, strengthen us in that way, we all could be changed people. We all could change in this spirit of fortitude, change to be strong for God, change to be strong for the salvation of souls of others and our own. The grace of God can change us, help us, strengthen us, if only we cooperate with us. Let that be our intention then for this novena to the Holy Ghost, that we can be strong people, courageous, hungering and thirsting after justice, filled with fortitude. If we truly desire it and pray for it, God will grant it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.